The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Let's start off with 13 things from the Reader's Digest. Earn your poetic license. Spring is prime time for poetry, and not just because writers have long been inspired by April's sweet showers or the darling buds of May. UNESCO's annual World Poetry Day is March 21st, and April is National Poetry Month in the United States and Canada. But you can celebrate poetry in any season. The largest poetry event in North America, the Dodge Poetry Festival, is held every other fall in New Jersey. Poetry is an ancient form. In fact, it predates prose and literacy itself. Even before we could read or write, people were reciting and singing verses to preserve and pass down history, genealogy, and law. Early agriculture societies also likely chanted spells or prayers for bountiful harvests. Number 3. The world's oldest surviving printed poem is the Epic of Gilgamesh, proposed 4,000 years ago in what is now Iraq and Syria. Scratched into clay tablets and wedge-shaped characters called cuneiform, the mythic tale of the warrior king Gilgamesh describes a huge flood similar to the one in the Bible, even including a Noah-like character and an ark. In the 15th century Scotland, though this is number 4, in the 15th century Scotland, one way to duke it out with your archenemy was called flighting, a verbal showdown in verse, in essence, a medieval rap battle full of insults and boasting. While flighting went out of fashion after the Middle Ages, players of the 2020 video game Assassin's Creed Valhalla can still fling taunting rhymes at virtual foes, such as Fergal the Faceless and Chadwick Monger of Gossip. Number 5. Because there are so many types of poems, from funny nursery rhymes to somber elegies, rhyming villanelles to freewheeling free verse, it can be hard to pin down what poetry actually is. Many have tried. William Wordsworth thought poetry was the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. Cahil Gibran said, "Poetry is a deal of joy and pain and wonder with a dash of the dictionary." And Emily Dixon wrote, "If I feel physically as if the top of my head were taken off, I know that is poetry." More precisely, and perhaps less poetically, poetry can be defined as writing that uses meaning, metaphor, and/or rhyme to elicit an emotional response. Number 6. A 2018 study by the National Endowment for the Arts found that poetry readership has increased in recent years, especially among those under age 35. Still, many people find poetry unapproachable or worried if they don't immediately get a poem's meaning. Edward Hirsch, author of How to Read a Poem and Fall in Love with Poetry, advises reading a poem out loud a few times, discussing it with a friend, and most importantly, getting comfortable with a little ambiguity. Number 7. Did Edgar Allan Poe almost write The Raven about a parrot? That was his original concept for the 1845 poem, Talking Bird, but he later settled on the more ominous raven. Poe was almost certainly inspired by Grip, the beloved pet raven of a fellow author, Charles Dickens. In January 1961, Robert Frost became the first poet to speak at an American president's inauguration. He arrived at the podium planning to read Dedication, written specifically to honor the man of the hour, John F. Kennedy. But the bright winter sunshine reflecting on the recent snowfall made the type poem ineligible, even after Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson tried blocking the sunlight with his hat. The 86-year-old Frost instead launched into his poem, The Gift, outright, from memory. 60 years later, Amanda Gorman became the youngest inaugural poet at just 22, reading The Hill We Climb at President Joe Biden's 2021 ceremony. Over the next few months, the newly famous Gorman also performed at the Super Bowl and graced the cover of Vogue. She's not the only up-and-coming poet who has crossed over into pop culture. Canadian Rupi Kaur is a breakout Insta-poet, that is a poet popular on Instagram with 4.5 million followers hanging on her every word. Number 10. Shel Silverstein's 1981 illustrated poetry book, A Light in the Attic, was the first children's book to land on the New York Times bestseller list, where it appeared for 182 weeks, breaking the previous record for hardcovers. Before he started writing for the younger set, originally under the name Uncle Shelby, Silverstein contributed Playboy, and he wrote the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue, winning a 1970 Grammy for the Best Country Song. Number 11. Not all poems are classics, but few are such stinkers that they inspire an entire competition devoted to wretched writing. Fairly or not, Joyce Kimball's Trees, which began, I think I'll never see a poem as lovely as a tree, spawned Columbia University's annual Alfred Joyce Kilmer Memorial Bad Poetry Contest, in which students recite the most hackneyed verses they come up with. The event ends with a group recitation of Trees. Number 12. Here's one way to clap back at the haters. After E.E. Cummings' collection, 70 Poems, was firmly rejected by 14 publishing houses, he self-published it under the snarky title, No Thanks, and he dedicated the book to those very same companies, arranging their names in the shape of a funeral urn. 13. There was once a man from Nantucket. That's the first line of many a popular limerick, a five-line rhyming poem that is usually humorous and sometimes crude. The name Limerick most comes from a popular 18th-century drinking song about the Irish city of Limerick that people often added cheeky improvised verses to, or possibly from the term lyric, referring to the surname of the form's most famous practitioner, Victorian writer Edward Lear. The healthy. Good vibes grow on trees. Science shows that our plants take care of us, too. Research has revealed many benefits to being in the presence of nature, whether that's walking in a forest, having a small garden, or keeping a few household plants. One study showed that patients at a hospital who had plants in their rooms reported less pain, lower blood pressure, less fatigue, and less anxiety than patients without plants in their rooms, says Jenny Seaham, Ph.D., founder and director of AIM, Arts and Integrated Medicine, at the Montefiore Health Systems in the Bronx, New York. She explains, cortisol, the stress hormone, has been shown to lower with plant interaction, lowering fatigue, irritability, and blood pressure. Gardening and caring for plants can help turn people away from negative thoughts or emotions. Houseplant collections have become a popular social media trend. Jamie Keaton Jones, Ph.D., a psychotherapist in Washington, D.C., says that for many people, tending to plants has served as a hobby that enables them to experience greater comfort and beauty from the presence of living things and sharing their space. Plants and exposure to greenery have been found to have multiple mental health benefits, such as lowering stress, decreasing feelings of depression, increasing sociability, restoring focus, improving cognitive performance, improving mood, and increasing self-esteem, says Jones. Studies have also shown that plants and gardening increase productivity, the levels of serotonin, the neurotransmitter responsible for uplifting mood. Rather than dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, plant kelps helps one focus on the present moment and provides a feeling of accomplishment, says Gail Wheel, a therapist in New York and Connecticut. Like any new skill or hobby, taking care of household plants comes with a learning curve. Anyone starting to care for plants should be patient and allow themselves time to learn the basics, leaving room for a little trial and error. Here are 8 plants that experts recommend for conferring mental health benefits. The snake plant. These popular indoor plants have a striking appearance with dark green sword-shaped leaves that often have mustard yellow or white stripes. Also known as mother-in-law's tongue, the snake plant is a great first plant, says Joan. It's very easy to care for, thrives in space with low sunlight, has visual appeal, and filters the air. Spider plants. With light green foliage and plenty of leaves, spider plants are another low-maintenance selection. They do well with humidity and actually can handle varying forms of light, but do best with medium light, says Tyler Keith, a social worker in Avant-Gardner in Wilmington, North Carolina. Sometimes individuals put spider plants in their bathrooms to have a warmer, cozier feeling in the space that helps a relaxing bath feel that much more relaxing, he says. Aloe vera. Drought-resistant and easy to grow, aloe vera is a low-maintenance, you can just water it monthly, and produces a healing gel that you can use straight from the leaf, says Sia. Pothos. If you want to go bright green, try pothos. It's chartreuse heart-shaped waxy leaves. The plants grow long vines that can trail or hang from a pot and grow downward, or the vines can climb up and be supported with a trellis to grow upward. Jones likes pothos plants because, by the way, that's P-O-T-H-O-S, plants, because they are also easy to care for, filter the air, and look beautiful cascading down a bookcase or a shelf. Lavender, well known for its relaxing scent. Lavender has a calming effect, aids in reducing stress, promotes sleep, and has anti-inflammatory properties when used as a topical for sin, says Wheel. You can clip and dry the leaves and put them in a bowl or even sprinkle them into your bath. Basil. The experience of growing, picking, and using herbs you've grown yourself has a positive impact on your mental health, creating positive sensory experiences as well as a sense of accomplishment. Eating basil has health benefits, too. It has properties that help us to relieve stress and anxiety, and eating it can improve mental clarity. Lemon balm. This fragrant green herb is part of the mint family and is simple to cultivate. Known for its calming properties, it has a light, lemony scent, has been used to improve sleep, reduce stress and anxiety, improve appetite, and help with indigestion, says Siam. Spearmint. This hardy herb grows quickly and makes a wonderful addition to drinks. It's just great to smell the leaves without even needing to make a tea for an immediate soothing effect. Before you bring home a boatload of botanicals, Jones says it's not about how many plants you have, but rather how you interact with them. For instance, are the plants in areas where you spend a lot of time? Do you care for them daily? Do you have a small space, or are you short sure how much time you're willing to invest in plant parenting? Starting out with lots of plants could be overwhelming. Just one plant can make a difference. It can engage you by its smell or color. It creates positive mood response with every interaction, says Sam. Remember that while indoor gardening can be a boon for your mental well-being and can help with stress and relaxation, it's not a cure-all. Having a plant doesn't immediately or directly impact mental health processes, says Keith. But caring for plants can be useful and enjoyable, part of an overall holistic wellness routine. I tried it. Trapeze classes. A couple of years ago at 32, I took up the hobby of aerial circus acts after a friend invited me to join her for a flying trapeze class. I never expected what came next. Everyone's nerves are on fire on the first time they climb up to the flying trapeze platform. But by the end of that class, I felt an incredible sense of excitement and ambition. I was reignited. After an intensely deep sleep and an even deeper stretching of sore muscles, I craved more. A year later, I'm in the best physical and mental shape of my life. If anyone ever tries to wrangle you into trapeze class, it's a leap worth taking. Leslie Findlay. As a Marine who often has fun making fun of other branches of the service, I love this joke from Humor in Uniform. A buddy and I were discussing where to go camping when a man nearby interrupted. Guys, he said, I was in the Army for 26 years. The last thing I want to do with my weekend is to go camping. I have a boat that I take out of the lake and relax. My pal said, I was in the Navy for 30 years. The last thing I want to do is be on the water. I can relate, I said with a self-depreciating smile. After 20 years as an Air Force officer, the last thing I want to do with my weekends is be on a golf course. Reader's Digest Travel. 15 things you shouldn't leave in the car. Your vehicle should be used for transportation, not storage. Keeping these items in your car could hurt your health and your security. Keep these things at home. It can be very easy to let your car become a storage space. It's accessible. Only you can get into it legally anyway. And there's plenty of space. While it's perfectly okay to keep some things there, and there are even many things you should store in your car, there are plenty of other things that you shouldn't be there for a prolonged amount of time. And of course, there are even some other things, living things, that you shouldn't leave in your car even when you're just leaving it for a short stretch of time. Here are the top 15 things you shouldn't leave in your vehicle. Medications. Most medicine be left at room temperature, but a car will rarely stir at that point when not in use. Heat probably won't make your drugs directly harmful, but it can make them much less effective. Electronics. Beyond the expense in devices themselves, gadgets like laptops, cell phones, and thumb drives contain information that could be easy to steal. If you're in a position where you have to store your laptop or phone unattended, make sure the information is encrypted. This makes thieves unable to view information without a code, separate from the password used to log in a device. It's a strong layer of protection that would need something putting a fair amount of effort into it to view. It's much stronger than password protection. Sunscreen. Ironically, the active ingredients in sunscreen break down in high heat. Leaving it in the car on a hot day can reduce its effectiveness. Plus, the heat could cause it to explode, leaving you with a really hot mess. Water bottles. Although research is a bit unclear, study have linked BPA and phthalates, chemicals found in plastic water bottles, with health conditions like cancer and heart disease. Letting a bottle sit in the sun and heat up can cause these chemicals to leach into the water. Plus, if the bottle has been lying around for a while, it can start harboring microorganisms. Handbag. Leaving a purse or wallet in plain sight makes your car a target for thieves, even if you locked your doors and taken the valuables out of your bag. Doesn't matter if the alarm goes off, Valeska says. It's attractive and they're going to grab it. Glasses. Take advantage of your car's sunglass compartment while driving, but don't leave your shades in it after you reach your destination. Heat can warp plastic frames and make metal ones too hot to wear. Leaving your glasses or clean glasses on the dashboard is even worse, because the windshield could attract sunlight like a magnifying glass. Number 8. Important documents. If you have personal documents that you plan to mail or shred, make that task a priority on your to-do list. Letting files like school transcripts or tax forms sit in your car while you run other errands or until you have time to take care of them leaves information vulnerable for anyone who wants to anyone breaks into your vehicle, Oeska says. Put it in the car, take care of it, and then you're done, she says. You have to follow through. If they don't need to be in your car, leave them at home or in the office. Well, this one's pretty obvious. Your passport. Never leave a passport in the car while traveling, even if it seems like it's too bulky to carry around. Identity theft is even easier with a passport than with a driver's license. We have to think of data and pieces of our identity as valuable, she continues. You're not going to leave jewelry in the car, but we don't have the same level of concern with things that make up our identity. And we really need to start doing that. Wine. Wait until after work or errands to pick up a bottle of wine. If the bottle gets too hot, the flavor could be affected, and the liquid could expand enough to seep around the cork or push the cork out a bit, contaminating the wine inside, not to mention staining your car floor or seats. And this one's really serious, young children. Even if you don't expect an errand to take more than a few minutes, leaving children alone in the car on a hot day puts their safety at risk. On the average, 39 children die every year from heat stroke in hot cars. Even if the window is cracked, the temperature inside the car can spike to almost 20 degrees Fahrenheit within 10 minutes. According to the CDC, check your state laws. In some areas, it's illegal to leave young children alone, even if it isn't sweltering inside. Pets. Dogs and cats are also a risk in hot summertime temps. Hundreds of pets die every year from overheating in vehicles, according to the American Veterinary Medical Association. After an hour, car temperature can reach 45 degrees higher than the climate outside, and even in a shaded parking spot, won't keep the temperatures much cooler. Groceries. Save your grocery run for the end of your errands list. Perishable food should be put in the fridge within 2 hours in most cases. In the summer, you have an even shorter window. It's more than 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Food should not be left for out more than an hour, according to USDA. Number 14. Indoor plants. Consider the weather before heading to a gardening center, especially if you won't be heading up straight after. Even relatively mild temperatures of 45 degrees Fahrenheit to 50 degrees Fahrenheit can kill some plants within an hour, according to Lowe's. If the leaves are touching the windows, the chilly glass could ruin the foliage. Hot temperatures can also be deadly to plants, so keep them shaded and cool on your drive home and bring them indoors as soon as possible. Aerosol cans. The reason for the fine print on aerosol cans warning labels: don't store at temperatures above 120 degrees Fahrenheit. As the product's temperature climbs, so does the pressure inside that lets it spray. In rare cases, like a woman in Arizona and a man in England in the summer of 2018, the heat in the car can get so intense that aerosol explodes, especially if you leave it in direct sunlight. The projectile can damage the car, or worse, hit somebody with a force strong enough to send them to the hospital. And last but not least, lipstick. I'll have to put my tube away. The favorite tube won't stand a chance in the sky-high summer temperatures. Keep lipstick from turning into an unusable, melted mess by toting it in and out rather than leaving it in the car for touch-ups in your front of the sun visor. The best and worst diets for your heart. Dozens of diets are touted as best, but it's easy to lose track of the fact that healthy eating needs to be about overall wellness, not just about weight loss. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. So we asked Norman E. Lepore, M.D., a cardiologist at Schmidt Center Institute at Cedars-Sinai, in Los Angeles for the best and worst diet for your heart. The best is the Mediterranean diet. The Mediterranean diet encourages people to eat a variety of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, legumes, and healthy fats. Dr. Lepore says incorporating more sources of monounsaturated fats found in avocado, olive oil, and seeds, and polyunsaturated fats in walnuts, flax seeds, and fish is a good place to start. We recommend using oils that are not topical oils, but use canola or high-quality olive oil instead, he says. Fish and seafood are regulars in the Mediterranean diet, while other protein sources like eggs, poultry, and dairy are eaten in moderation. Red meat is eaten very sparingly. The worst? The keto diet. Because consuming a higher amount of saturated fat increases your risk of developing cardiovascular disease, Dr. Lepore does not recommend the keto diet, which is a high-fat eating plan. People tend to say they can lose weight fast on the keto diet, and they eat foods that reduce their appetite. But they're really increasing their intake of saturated fats, he says. Unfortunately, in the U.S., even people who aren't following the keto diet consume too many saturated fats and trans fats, as well as added sugars, sodium, and overall calories, all potential risk factors for heart disease. Dr. Lepore says eating a diet that focuses on the source of monounsaturated and unpolyunsaturated fats, as well as lean protein like chicken, seafood, and plant-based options such as legumes, can benefit our hearts and our overall health over time. More news from the world of medicine. It doesn't matter when you exercise. Cramming your exercise into the weekend might be just as beneficial as spreading it out over the week, suggests a recent Brazilian-led analysis. The key to having a significant lower risk of death is to clock a weekly total of 150 minutes of moderate activity, like brisk walking, or 75 minutes of vigorous activity, like running. The best time to eat if you have type 2 diabetes. It's not unusual to spread a day's food intake over 14 hours, say from breakfast at 7 a.m. until an evening snack at 9 p.m. Narrowing that window down to 10 hours could be beneficial with type 2 diabetes, according to a study by researchers at Maastricht University Medical Center in the Netherlands. This allows the body to reach a fasting state during the night and lower overall blood sugar levels. The study's findings line up with previous research where even shorter time windows, such as 8 hours, led to an increase in fat burning and improved insulin sensitivity in people with obesity. Two more reasons to get more sleep. Whether or not you choose to help someone else may partly depend on how well rested you are, concludes a report from the University of California, Berkeley. It describes recent research analyzing brain images from volunteers after 8 hours of sleep and after staying up all night. Brain areas involved with trying to understand what others might be feeling or needing were less active when the subject were tired. In another study from the same report, participants felt more willing to perform kind actions, such as helping an injured stranger or volunteer for a worthy cause, after a decent night's sleep. A third study noted that charitable donations in the United States dropped by around 10% each spring, but only in places that observe daylight savings time, where people lose an hour of sleep when their clocks move ahead. All those results suggest that insufficient sleep makes us less compassionate and helpful. That's interesting. Another unsung benefit to getting enough sleep is better decision-making. If you've ever felt tapped out after concentrating for hours, that's because the effort makes a molecule called glutamate build up in your brain's prefrontal cortex. High levels of disrupt brain function, as scientists in Paris figured out using a measurement called spectrometry. This causes fatigue and lazy decisions-making that prioritizes easy indulgences over long-term gains. Autoimmune disorders in your heart. Around 10% of Americans and Europeans have at least one autoimmune disease, such as rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis. In all cases, the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy organs and tissues, often causing inflammation. New research out of KU Leuven, a university in Belgium, has shown that people with an autoimmune disorder were at least 1.4 times more likely to develop cardiovascular disease. Meanwhile, the risk more than doubled among subjects with two autoimmune disorders. The researchers hope their work will encourage patients and doctors to discuss prevention strategies for cardiovascular problems, such as eating a balanced diet and exercising regularly, just as general practitioners do for people living with other risk factors. Last week we were finishing up the thing on coupons, and I ran out of time. So here's a little bit of items for the very end of that program. how to stack your coupons. Star Smith has been a Sirius couponer since 2010. So serious, in fact, that she was able to pull off $0 supermarket sweeps like the kind you may remember seeing on TV. Although savings are less steep now, Star says she still believes in couponing's value. If you dedicate an hour a week to couponing without even trying too hard, you can get $50 back in your budget, she says. Today, the Atlanta area content creator teaches her 200,000-plus YouTube subscribers how to do just that on her channel, Coupon with Star. Her weekly videos break down the best deals from retailers like CVS and Walgreens and preach the possible of stacking, using multiple paper or digital coupons on items. Some retailers limit how many coupons can be used for a single item or order. In two October videos, Smith walked fans through two simple deals, one for coupon newbies using digital coupons available through CVS Extra Care app, and another for more dedicated couponers. Tools of the trade. Smartphone with CVS Extra Care membership app. The purchase. Colgate White Stain Fighter Toothpaste, 4.2 ounces, $4.99 each, or a total of $9.98 for two of them. Coupons applied. Spend $10, get back $5. CVS Extra Care digital deal, clipped on the phone, minus $5. Save $4 on two Colgate products. CVS Extra Care app, digital coupon, another $4. Save $1 on Colgate product. CVS Extra Care app, $1 off. Cash paid, Zippo. Tools of the trade for advanced stackers. Manufacturing coupons, MFC coupons, printed on the end of your cash register tape receipt and app. CVS coupons and rewards through Ibotta rebate app. The purchase. Revlon Ultra High D vinyl lip polish at $12.49 each. And there's getting three of them, so it's a total of $37.47. Two, Revlon ColorStay Prep and Pro product primer base at $17.49 each. It's a total of just under $35. One, Revlon New Complexion One-Step Compact Makeup Foundation at $16.79, which is total a value of $89.24. Coupons applied. $2 off Revlon Lip Cosmetics, minus $6. $3 off Revlon Face Cosmetics. These are manufacturer coupons, minus $9. Buy two, get one free coupons. Cash register tape coupon, minus $49.26. $4 off worth of $20 worth of Revlon products, you get $4 off. That's a digital coupon. So the final cost is $20.98. CBS extra bucks accrued from previous purchases, minus $20. Cash paid, 98 cents. Rebates. Revlon, spend $15, get extra $5 bucks reward. Limit is 6. In-store promotion. You got $20 extra bucks. Submitted receipt to Ibotta, minus $12. Money back for future purchases, $31.02. Interesting. New car features we love and some we don't. Cars you can unlock with your phone cameras that can see where you can't. High beams that turn on by themselves. We've got the cool new tech to seek out on your next car. Whether you're buying a car for the first time in a dozen years or replacing a three-year-old lease model, you might find yourself in an alien landscape the next time you go to a dealership. That's because there have been a lot of aesthetic and technological transformations that are affecting not just how today's cars work, but also how drivers interact with them. For example, even basic economy cars on the market now have convenient features like high beam headlights that automatically turn themselves on and off, and in-car screens that pair with your phone to display navigation apps and play music from your favorite playlists. But some changes might have you looking back at your old car with nostalgia. Touchscreens where buttons used to be, low-profile tires that make for a harsh ride and confusing gear selectors, and electronic door handles that are becoming the norm of many of today's vehicles. How do you know which features you should look for, which to avoid, and which you might just have to get used to? We're here to help. CR buys about 40 new vehicles each year for our auto test program. After our on-track evaluations are complete, we continue to live with the cars for a few months longer, using the same way you would, picking up kids, hauling groceries, carrying bikes to trails, and more. In other words, we notice how various features enhance or diminish the car's owning experience. Here are the most interesting new car trends we've come across on the latest vehicles we've tested. You'll encounter many of them on their next vehicle, some we like, some not so much. And they've got a picture here of a 2023 Hyundai Elantra, starting at about $20,500. Car advertisements and salespeople will try to convince you that the more features a car has, the more luxurious it is. But we believe that the true measure of luxury isn't how much equipment a car has. It's how much the features can reduce the driver's stress level. A car that is easy to operate provides a superior experience. The Hyundai Elantra and the Nissan Rogue, both budget-friendly models, are a good example of cars that get it right. Both have useful, modern comfort and convenience features, some standard, others optional, that prioritize ease of use. And the Nissan Rogue is an SUV. Actually, I have one, not an earlier model. And this one starts at $27,369. They both have automatic high-beam headlights or standard. On the Nissan, the horn honks when the right pressure is reached during inflation of the tires. And the Hyundai smartphone apps can open and start the car and lend a virtual key to another driver. And the Nissan smartphone apps can locate the car. On both, they're equipped with wireless charging and wireless Apple CarPlay. And on the Hyundai Elantra, which has a trunk, the trunk opens when you stand near it with a key fob, which actually I think would be kind of dangerous. Automatic high beams. Okay, and these are detailed things about what these are. These headlights automatically switch between high and low beams based on lighting, traffic, and speed to add illumination when needed when shining glare into the eyes of other drivers. You can override them if you want to. Our opinion, even if it's optional, we recommend paying extra for this feature, says Jennifer Stockbroker, Director of Operations at CR's Auto Test Center. That's how useful we think it is. Several years ago, AAA found that even though high beams can extend your nighttime vision, 64% of drivers who drive at night said they don't use them regularly. This tech solves that problem by turning the high beams on and off for you. Buying tips. Your owner's manual will explain how to engage the automatic high beams. Using an A or auto will illuminate within the headlight symbol behind the steering wheel when it's active. Which brands have them? It's available in almost all new cars as either standard or option equipment. Flush or electronic door handles. Certain new vehicles have door handles that retract when not in use, a design that reduces aerodynamic drag and improves fuel economy or electric driving range, and they have a picture of a Tesla. Our opinion, they could be hard to grasp and complicate what should be a simple feature. They can also ice over more easily than regular handles. Buying tips. Some high-end trim packages come with motorized handles that extend automatically from the door when you approach the vehicle, but such a complex design is easy to break. Which brands have them? They're found on vehicles from Kia, Tesla, and others, and are especially common on EVs. Tire pressure warning and monitoring systems. The pressure monitoring systems, TPMSs, that alert you with warning light if your tires are underinflated, have been required on all new cars sold in the U.S. since September 2007. Many cars go a step beyond, showing real-time tire pressure in each tire while you drive, typically on a dashboard screen. A few cars will even help guide you through inflation, honking the horn once your tires have reached their correct pressure, so you can leave your tire pressure gauge in your glove box. Our opinion, proper tire inflation is key for safety, fuel economy, and even tire wear, says Ryan Slakovitsky. Boy, you wouldn't. I've got to spill this name. This is a heck of a name. PSZCZOLKOWSKI. I bet a lot of people refer to him as Ski. Time Program Manager at CR. The ability to see the pressure per tire and for that car to let you know when a tire is inflated to the correct pressure is a nice convenience. Buying tips. Read the owner's manual to familiarize yourself with how these features work and to make sure they're user-friendly. Which brands have them? Real-time pressure monitoring is available on most cars with high-level trim packages. Certain vehicles from GM, Jeep, and Nissan will honk the horn once during filling when your tire have reached the correct pressure. Soft-to-the-touch surfaces and reflective interior trim. You might not think about cleaning and glare while admiring an attractive car interior at the dealership, but the shiny black interior trim that's now in fashion easily scratches, collects dust, and shows fingerprints. Chrome and silver accents can reflect sunlight in the eyes of drivers. Plush, heavily padded dashboards and armrests can collect and hold dust. Our opinion, glossy trim is too easy to scratch and doesn't belong in off-touched areas, like near the center console or the door handle. Buying tips. Even on cars that offer multiple interior trim options, it can be hard for buyers to avoid silvery accents and padding. If your new car has soft-touch surfaces, clean them with a microfiber cloth to avoid leaving lint behind. Which brands have them? Almost every mainstream car has these trims today. New ways of shifting gears. And they have pictures here. It's really interesting. The Lincoln one actually has one inch push button. That rolls back to the old Chryslers from many, many years ago. And the Chrysler Pacific, the volume and shifter knobs are very close and can be inconsistent. Automakers have increasingly replaced the PRDL shift lever with buttons, dials, or monostable selectors, which move like a joystick and return to the center position released. Some car makers have separate buttons to engage park. While some of these setups are as intuitive as traditional ones, others require drivers to pay close attention or wrist select in reverse or neutral when they want drive. Our opinion, some alternatives are fine. We're fans of knobs when they're easy to use without looking at them, but we're not fans at all when they can be easily mistaken for a different control, as with the volume knob on Chrysler Pacificus and the infotainment screen controller in Jensen vehicles. In a 2020 survey, some CR members whose cars have monostable or push-button selectors that they were not likely to select the wrong gear or change gear by accident, that they were likely to select the wrong gear change by accident, or take their eyes off the road to change gears. Buying tips. Try doing a three-point turn in the parking lot of a dealership to see how easy it is to change from reverse to drive and back again. Then put the car into park. Which brands have them? Most, though unfamiliar gear selectors are more likely to show up in hybrids and EVs than other models. Luxury brands scored the worst in our gear selector survey. Do it all touchscreens. Step inside a newer car and you're more likely to see a tablet-like interface mounted on the dashboard than buttons and knobs. As cars get more features, the touchscreen allows automakers to hide infrequently changed settings, such as switching from miles to kilometers in digital menus, instead of cluttering up the dashboard. But some automakers have gone too far, moving controls for often used features such as radios, climate controls, or even windshield wipers to touchscreens. Our opinion, touchscreens are fine, but physical controls are best for frequently used features such as climate and volume. Screens are conducive to making small adjustments to volume or temperature. Unlike hard controls, you can grab without looking, says Kelly Funkhauser, CR's head of connected and automated vehicles. Buying tips on your test drive. Try to change the radio station on the or turn on the heat or AC. Adjust the audio volume with the temperature and the temperature to see how easy these common tasks are before you buy the car. Which brands have them? Most brands have touchscreens, but luxury brands at higher trim levels tend to have larger screens and fewer traditional buttons and knobs. Phone apps on your dashboard. Android Auto and Apple CarPlay allow you to access some smartphone apps and voice assistants in the vehicle's infotainment screen. Our opinion, phone-based apps are often easier to use than a car's built-in navigation or infotainment. Buying tips. To go cord-free, look for wireless and Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, along with a wireless charging pad. Toyota has a late adopter, so even newer used models might not even have this feature. Which brands have them? Android Auto and Apple CarPlay are standard in almost new cars except Rivians and Teslas. Keyless or phone-based entry and go. These days, few cars still offer a physical key that turns the door lock or ignition. Instead, they have key fobs that let you open the door known as keyless entry and start the car keyless go, as long as the fob is with you. You may need to press a button on the door, or it may automatically unlock as soon as your hand reaches and pulls on the handle. Our opinion, going keyless is especially convenient in the rain or if you have keys with your habit of falling deep into your handbag or backpack. Many cars with key fobs can prevent you from locking your keys in the car, and some can be programmed to automatically lock once you've stepped away from the vehicle. Buying tips. You may have to pay extra if you want your doors to unlock when your hand is close to the handle, or if you want keyless entry on more than one of the driver's door. Which brands have it? In the past few years, keyless entry and go have become standard on all but base model economy cars. Certain vehicles from BMW, Ford, Jensen, Hyundai, Kia, and Tesla allow you to use your smartphone as a key in place of a fob, which can save room in your pocket or purse. Years ago, I owned a Lexus, and one of the neat things about that was the key fob actually allowed you to, in a hot day, to lower the windows to cool the car off before you got in it. That was kind of cool. Camera vision. Backup cameras have been mandatory on all new passenger vehicles since May 2018. But in some cases, the center infotainment screen will offer multiple views around the car, including close-up of the wheels and fenders, and sometimes a 360-degree surround view that could feel like part of a video game. Our opinion. We love cameras on cars. Modern cars have a big blind spot, and cameras can help you see what you otherwise could not. In addition to preventing parking lot mishaps, front view and backup cameras can prevent tragedies, especially because children can be too small to be seen over the hood of a vehicle or out of their rear window. And side view cameras can help you parallel park closer to the curb. Buying tips. Try out the various camera views in the parking lot during your test drive. Make sure they're easy to use. Be mindful that higher quality cameras will provide a better image in low light. Which brands have it? Backup cameras are standard on all new cars. You will usually have to pay extra for front, side, or surround view cameras, which are available on most larger and luxury vehicles. Larger wheels and tires. Massive 19, 20, or even 21-inch wheels may look cool, but in our testing, we repeatedly find that those larger, heavier wheels and the low-profile sidewalls that often go with them tend to give drivers a harsher ride and risk both tire and wheel damage from potholes. That's because short tire sidewalls can't absorb the bumps and other road imperfections as well as regular tires. They're great for high-performance driving, but not for comfort on your daily commute. And tires that fit those larger wheels typically cost more to replace. Our opinion, stip them if you can. You'll save money and get a better ride. Many automakers bundle larger, bigger wheels and tires with option packages aimed at drivers who want sportier handling or more luxurious trim levels. Ask your dealer whether smaller wheels come with the options you want. Which brands have them? Almost every manufacturer has a bigger wheel and tire option. Luxury SUVs, such as those from BMW, Cadillac, and Land Rover, are more likely to have the largest wheels. Now, how to finance a used car? Buying a used car can be a lot less expensive than buying new, especially as used car prices begin to ease. But those savings can quickly evaporate if you need to finance your purchase. Interest rate for used cars can be twice what you would pay to finance a new car, which means you could be shelling out thousands of dollars more. In fact, financing late model used car can make it almost as expensive as buying new. Used car prices today remain pretty elevated, so it's a good idea to avoid high-cost financing and dealer extras, says Chuck Bell, a financial policy advocate for CR. You may save by arranging your own financing rather than going through the dealer, and consider buying from a private seller. It could be more of a hassle, but you may end up paying less. The following tips will help you get the best price when financing a used car. Get pre-approved. This is good advice for any car purchase, and it's essential if you're financing a used car brought from a private seller. Getting pre-approved also gives you a baseline to start comparing rates and empowers you to decline a dealer's financing if the terms aren't favorable. Be sure to shop around. Online vendors like Carvana and Vroom offer online pre-qualification, but you may get a better rate from your own bank or credit union. Tip: don't worry about making multiple inquiries for auto loans. They may be excluded from your credit report. If not, they're not likely counted only as one inquiry if they're all made within the same 30-day period. Avoid long-term loans. A 60-month loan may keep monthly payments low, but you'll pay more in interest over time and probably also pay a higher rate. Using recent Navy Federal Credit Union interest rates as an example, you could finance $23,000 at 5.44% over 36 months for a total of $24,980. A 60-month loan would incur a higher 5.74% rate and an overall payment $1,500 higher than the shorter-term loan. Choose the shortest term you can afford. This will minimize interest payments and reduce the likelihood that you'll find yourself upside down or owing more on the loan than a car is worth. Say no to dealer add-ons. Once you've agreed on a price, the dealer may try to persuade you to buy an extended warranty. Don't consider it before making sure the original factory warranty is expired. Some certified pre-owned CPO cars carry an extended coverage and may not need more. Buying an extended warranty is usually not worth the money. Choosing a car known for reliability is a better investment. Tip: start a rainy day fund for maintenance. That money could earn a little interest if it's in the right type of account. And you can apply what you don't use on the purchase of your next car. Factor in repair cost. If you're buying an older vehicle, you'll definitely save money over the price of a new car. But don't forget the inevitable cost of replacement tires or a brake job, depending on the model and the age and history. Tip: choosing a model from CR's list of recommended used cars, cr.org/used car, may help limit repair costs. Whichever car you choose, come up with a rough annual budget for upkeep by using our guidelines on car maintenance. That's at cr.org/200K. And our repair estimator, cr.org/car repair. Add that to the estimated annual cost to finance the car to find out how much money you'll actually save by buying used. And since that was the February Consumer Report, we're now going to roll over to the March Consumer Report. Consumer Powered Change. This is from Marta El Talato, the president and CEO. Consumers are a force to be reckoned with, like the citizen testers in this month's issue, who test for toxins in dishes, dental floss, and even sports bras. And collectively, consumers are driving national change. In December, we saw a victory that would not have been won without the parents, who helped score national standards to prevent the sale of unstable furniture. After tragically losing their own children, they banded together, showing incredible courage and fortitude in using their voices to advocate for America's most vulnerable. There's no better changemaker than you, and that's why CR is working with consumers to expose frustrating issues and dangerous products so we can make the marketplace fair and safe for all. Our community reporters collected samples from water systems that serve over 19 million people. Subsequent testing revealed dangerous levels of arsenic, lead, and PFAS, forever chemicals. After the findings were published, the Environmental Protection Agency issued an advisory for 4 PFA chemicals in drinking water, lowering the level of contamination below which adverse health effects are not expected. People like you make these actions possible, so we're finding more ways to empower people as drivers of change. Community reporters in Mississippi are building our water study by collecting samples to test the safety of their local systems. And the Brooklyn Borough of New York City, residents are using air quality monitors to measure pollution around new Amazon facilities. I encourage you to go to cr.org/communityreports, where you can sign up to be a community reporter for one of our next consumer change efforts, including a campaign to make digital services cost less and devices less pricey to repair, which would be a big sustainability win. With your voice, your passion, and your power, we can change the world for all consumers. Building a better world, making e-bikes battery safer. The e-bike sales have boomed since the pandemic hit, as many consumers look to spend more time outdoors and avoid public transit. Unfortunately, safety standards have not kept up. A CR investigation published in December on CR.org found that little has been done to protect consumers after a rash of deadly fires around the U.S. were tied to lithium-ion and other types of high-energy density e-bike batteries. Most such engines appear to be connected to cheap, poorly made batteries, which remain on the market because of two overlapping regulatory problems. Number one, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the federally charged with overseeing some 15,000 product categories, including e-bikes, lacks the resources and power to carry out its mandate effectively. And two, there's a loophole that allows many products worth less than $800 coming from overseas, including cheap e-bikes and e-bike components, to enter the U.S. without safety screenings by border agents. CR's investigation caught the attention of CPSC Commissioner Mary T. Boyle, who released a statement echoing CR's conclusions and calling for urgent action. Later in December, the agency called on more than 2,000 manufacturers, importers, distributors, and retailers to comply with voluntary safety standards for battery-powered products or face possible enforcement action. CR will monitor industry response and continue urging policymakers to give the CPSC the authority and funding it needs to protect consumers. Meanwhile, consumers can learn how to prevent e-bike fires at cr.org/e-bike safety. 25,000 high-energy batteries reportedly overheated or created fire hazards from 2012 to 2017. And I actually had a person not too far from me whose garage burned down because their e-battery decided to burn. Buy now, pay later loans, which typically let you pay purchases in a biweekly installments, are a convenient way to ease short-term budget problems, but can also hit consumers with unexpected interest charges, late fees, credit score hits, and a range of hassles related to returns and disputed charges. A recent CR analysis found, we're now calling the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to put in place strong measures to ensure that consumers are treated fairly. Add your voice by signing our petition at cr.org/BNPL rules. Preventing auto crashes. What's at stake? As the popularity and size of pickup trucks and SUVs have grown, so too has the deadly safety problem. The huge blind zones in front of these vehicles where drivers are unable to spot children and other pedestrians. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says these frontovers, where slow-moving vehicles strike pedestrians the drivers didn't see, caused an average of more than 14,000 injuries and more than 380 deaths per year between 2016 and 2020. Most of the victims were 6 years old or younger. What is CR doing? CR has been drawing attention to frontovers. A recent CR evaluation showed that full-size pickup trucks, the most popular autos on the market, can have a blind zones 11 feet longer than cars and 7 feet longer than an SUV. And a recent NBC News video report featuring CR car safety experts and filmed at our auto test facility vividly demonstrated the problems by showing a row of 10 children in front of a popular pickup truck, and the driver wasn't able to see any of them. A separate CR study found that pickups are less likely than cars and SUVs to have standard safety features such as automatic emergency braking with pedestrian detection, which could prevent frontovers. CR wants automakers to address the problem. In October, Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal introduced a CR-endorsed bill that would order NHTSA to require that vehicles equipped with technology to improve visibility and avert frontover incidents. What you can do, sign our petition urging carmakers to take steps now at cr.org/frontovers. Letters to the editor, your feedback. Our January 2023 cover story, CR's Guide to Popular Supplements, examined the remedies many people turn to for strengthening immunity, boosting memory, and more. Our readers shared their thoughts. I, for one, am glad we have supplements. My mother and her mother had a genetic disease that caused a loss of calcium to their bones, and without the help of a specialist who agreed that calcium supplements were necessary, they would have been wheelchair-bound for decades, and I as well. Editor's note, you're right, although many people take supplements that aren't necessary, some of them with calcium supplements have been shown to be helpful to certain situations. But CR advises that you always check with your physician before taking supplements, especially if you also take any prescription drugs. Consumers Report again provides information about supplements that does not help consumer by letting us know which producers and brands are the highest quality and which are not. Does more expensive mean better quality? I would find an evaluation of the supplement providers and manufacturers to be much more valuable than these blanket, don't take, and okay to take generalities. Editor's note, CRS tested supplements in the past, but January's article was based on published scientific research along with our own consumer surveys. As noted in the What Know Before You Take That Supplement section on page 27, looking for a seal from the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, USP, and other trusted organizations can help you verify that a supplement contains what's advertised on the label. You can find a list of USP-verified supplements at quality-supplements.org. In your January article, CR's Guide to Popular Supplements Regarding Vitamins, you should have mentioned that it's very important for vegans to take B12. Editor's note, people with certain restricted diets, such as the vegans, may be missed out on some key vitamins. If that's the case for you, consult a doctor or a dietitian about how to get the vitamins you need from fortified foods, those that have vitamins added to them, or from vitamin supplements. Vitamin B12, for example, is plentiful in meat, milk, and eggs, but it's not found in any plant food. That's why the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics recommends that vegans eat foods fortified with B12, such as soy milk and certain cereals, or take a B12 supplement. Best store brands. In store brands we love and a few we don't, in the January issue, I noticed that my favorite brands of peanut butter were not among those tested. Peter Pan wasn't, and neither was Jif. Those are the best two peanut butters of all time. Editor's note. In most cases, we use the top-selling brand of each product type as our name brand. For peanut butter, we test the number two brand Skippy instead of the number one Jif, because at the time we purchased our samples, Jif peanut butter was linked to an outbreak of salmonella poisoning, now over, and had been recalled. Peter Pan, by the way, is fourth in terms of sales after Jif, Skippy, and private label peanut butter products. Auto reliability. In new cars you can count on, in the January issue, you gave the 2023 Lincoln Nautilus an above-average rating for predicted reliability, indicated by light green circle and a score of 73 out of 100. How is this possible when your 2021 auto issue, your ratability for the Nautilus with a red circle, which indicate a well below grade, and then in 2022 auto issue, you gave it an orange circle, which ends below average grade. Editor's note, CR conducts a new survey each year. When there are sufficient responses, we average the data from our reliability surveys over the three prior model years to make our prediction. For the new model year, So reliability predictions for 2023 factor in results from 2020, 2021, and 2022 survey. The reliability rating for the 2023 Lincoln Nautilus, however, is based only on 2020 and 2021 data, which have shown above average reliability. We have insufficient data for 2022. Dishwasher rinse aids. On page 8 of your January issue, you answered a question, do I need to put a rinse aid as well as detergent in my dishwasher? By explaining that added a rinse aid could prevent annoying wadding spots, what we throw away, plastic and chemicals, wash away and flush away, often ends up negatively impacting our environment. Has CR determined the environmental impact of the chemicals in rinse aids? Editor's note. Most rinse aids or drying aids are surfactants, compounds that react with water to reduce surface tension, which can be exotoxic. One common rinse agent, sodium triphosphate, tripolyphosphate, has been described by the Environmental Protection Agency as toxic to the environment. You can look for that ingredient listed on a product's label. There are some rinse aids, made by Seventh Generation and Ecos, among others, that are claimed to be biodegradable and non-toxic, but CR hasn't evaluated them. The mineral content or hardness of your water at home can also cause spotting on glassware, so addressing that condition can help without the use of any additional chemicals. A couple of quick jokes to close out. An airplane encounters turbulence and starts rocking from side to side. The flight crew quickly wheels out the drinks cart for the jury passenger. "We'd like a drink?" the flight attendant asks a businesswoman. "Yes," she replies. "I'll have whatever the pilot's having." Seen is not doing as well as I thought. My glass coffin company remains to be seen is not doing as well as I thought it would. That's terrible. Not to victim blame, but why did you bring a needle into a haystack in the first place? Swimming is a confusing sport because sometimes you do it for fun and other times you do it not to die. Two psychiatrists pass each other in the hallway. One says, "Hey, how are you doing?" The other thinks to himself, "Wonder what he meant by that." Pessimists see life through morose-colored glasses. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening to us.